Today is Father's Day. All of us have fathers. All of us may perceive at some level that fathers early in our lives were representatives of gods. Those fathers may have seemed to have power over our very lives. And really, if it wasn't for the seed of the Father, we wouldn't be here right now. And so today I want to talk about a day to recognize Father energy. And I'm talking about more than just our physical, biological fathers or stepfathers or grandfathers. I'm talking about the energy underneath, ultimately. When growing up, some of us were exposed to Greek mythology and those gods, and I found them to be particularly unappealing because they were so unpredictable, so driven by petty competitiveness and other behaviors that were not attractive and certainly didn't create a sense of security in me and probably anybody else, and certainly the characters in Greek literature, always wondering if the god is going to be petulant and punish them and so on, or to be supportive of them. Even in our Judeo-Christian culture, some of us had a god promoted to us that was really very interested in keeping track of all the things that we did wrong, and ultimately on Judgment Day was going to bring those things up to us and use them as a source of evidence to determine whether we were going to be punished everlastingly by being confined to hell or to be admitted to heaven. And that sort of thing was promoted to us, and that character, that god that was described as having those capabilities, was, I'll say, conceived of as children. How else would we conceive of a god other than like people but bigger or more powerful or had superpowers, you know, greater than maybe even Superman or other comic book type powers and heroes and characters? But when you look back at the god that was promoted and has been promoted for more than 2,000 years, you know, going back to the Jews, with Jews having the largest influence on our culture simply because we've inherited the Old Testament and that has washed over into the way Christianity has formed. So with the Jewish God, where they're fearing punishment and needing to appease him by sacrificing innocent animals and people to cover up or make up or to gain absolution for their own sins, the god that we've been sold is one that has a focus on obedience. Everybody is walking around in a lot of places on this planet, certainly in the United States in certain areas, focused on obedience. They want to obey God, and of course they're not clear about what that really means other than what they've been told, the Judeo-Christian version of obeying a god. And then they certainly want to obey him because they have a strong belief in punishment for disobedience. And then there are people who are angry and fearful about the rules that this god has established that are, frankly, beyond the scope of human intelligence. You know, if we think of a god of good or punishment, or and then we try to understand, using that very limited framework, how a baby is born disabled or crippled or has something else wrong with them, some innocent sort of thing that happens to puppies and kittens, and now we're angry and fearful, and now we might be punished for being angry and fearful about this god and its real crazed behavior. And then, if we're going to go to war, or we pray for God to protect us, help us kill our enemies, and prevent the enemy from killing us. Now, I'm certain that the soldiers on the other side of the line shooting at us are having the same sort of prayer. They're praying to their God for protection and hoping that their God will smite us rather than smite them. And all of this, I hope you punish them more than you punish me. All of that stuff says that God, the Father, or even our biological Father, may be scary just like that, or maybe not. So, we know about God the Father, the way that's represented to us. And I've always had difficulty with being brought up a Catholic and hearing about the Trinity, which I found incomprehensible. And certainly it was incomprehensible because there was no reference to female energy. And from a very early age, I recognized there had to be female energy because my mother was a female, as were my sisters. And how did that get left out? How did female energy not have a part in God, in the creation? It's like, something is wrong here. So if we had a scary father, or we didn't have a scary father in the family of origin, what do we know about our own father, that father? Not God the Father, but our father. We know, based upon the following. We base our knowingness upon what we saw as little children, right on up till today. We base it upon what we heard from our father, and we know our father based upon what we felt. So, what we saw, what we heard, what we felt. But, for me personally, I think most of the information that I have about my father is what I was told. Some of it I was told by my father himself. That was actually fairly limited. However, I had an abundance of information about my father given to me by my mother and by others, my siblings or somebody else. But primarily, my source of information about my father, who he was, what he was, how he was, came from my mother. Some years back at a funeral, I was having a conversation with my sister Patty. Patty, when she was 61 years old at that time, and we were sitting there having a talk, and she said, "Do you know that most of the negative impressions we have about our father came directly from our mother?" And I thought about that, and I said, "Yeah, I agree. The negative propaganda from our mother shaped our relationship, misshaped it actually, distorted it actually, interfered with it actually. And why a person would do that to their children who were half the father? Why a woman would demonize to her own children half of them? My mother did that. To look at a person and judge them based upon a single moment of time is really so limited in information that it would be impossible to have it be accurate. And so, even if I were just to take that example, which I intended to talk about, but let me just phase it in right here. My mother's relationship to my father predates her relationship with my father. My mother was a young child in a family, and she was the apple of her father's eye. And they used to go walks hand in hand on a little country road where they lived. And when she was 7 years old one day, her father got a strangulated hernia. And because he was a mile from the hospital, the next day he was dead. He never got to the hospital. That a strangulated hernia today is basically a drive-through operation. It is so minor in significance in today's medicine, but back then it was fatal. One day this male energy, this very protective, very loving, very doting male energy, this father energy, was available to my mother, and then it disappeared. You can certainly see how there would be sadness, but in a lot of cases of loss, there's tremendous anger at that person being abandoned. So the person left behind is angry at the person who died, and not knowing at 7 years old that this is a natural part of the process, there now is a lot of animosity toward men who will abandon her. Then if you add a few more elements into the saga, you can see that it starts to unfold in a predictable fashion. My grandmother, my mother's mother, remarried, and she remarried a man who had boys. and those boys were physically, emotionally, and sexually abusive of my mother and her sister. So much so that my mother's brothers forced the stepfather and his brothers at the point of shotguns out of the house. That's how that marriage ended, because the boys in the family protected the rest of the females in the family using a shotgun aimed at the ne'er-do-wells, the evildoers, the other male energy. So now you've got two variations of male energy that my mother was walking around with. One that is loving, doting, oop, it abandons you, and the other is a violating, low vibration, predator type of thing that is intent upon harming you for its own base needs. Not a good combination of impressions about male energy. When I came along, I was number 5 out of 7 children, and I can imagine on one hand that, and my sister Patty told me this too later on her deathbed, that my father was the one that wanted a lot of children because he thought it was the proper thing, it was the moral thing, it was a religious thing, it was a spiritual thing to do. My mother was not so inclined, so she could have done without all of these 7 children. She may have preferred to have 1 or 2, I don't know the details of that, but my father didn't protect her from having a lot of children, nor did he fulfill their needs by being a breadwinner. And so now all of a sudden you got a lot of animosity, and some of it justifiable, even though it's really ineffective as a way to approach something. Being disapproving or rejecting of somebody in the long term is not going to cause them to grow to meet your needs or to fulfill their highest potential. How do boys know what being a man is? And how do you be a man as a boy? How do you get this role model? What does it mean to be a man? Well, I speak for myself, and I think this would probably hold true for my 2 brothers, is that we watched, we looked, we listened, we tried to decide what was working in these behaviors, what was cool, what would get us the attention or love or approval that every human being is looking for, and occasionally we might have noticed what didn't work in producing happiness, either for that person himself or for others in that person's environment or family. But for myself, I followed that age-old method, monkey see, monkey do. I saw ignorant behavior, and I replicated it. And so by repeating those same mistakes, that's how I learned. You would think as we evolve, we could learn from somebody else's mistake instead of the need to do it all again. But a lot of what we do is to make the same mistakes again. We have to have that same experience so we can know how to behave. If a child, I'll say a boy or a girl, grew up in a sane family, and that would mean that the parents would be sane, and they probably grew up in a sane family, and that would probably mean that their parents had grown up in a sane family. If that were all true, I would think that that child would have gained respect not only for the father energy of which they were created, but also of the mother energy of which they were created. So the addition of the male energy to the female energy, and the mother grows that, she's the one that collects the rest of the energy to grow that baby in utero. You go, but nonetheless, this combination of male and female energy is, to me, essential to our balance. Now, I'm not making this up. This is not originating through any genius that I'm displaying. It's evident in so many things that we read or study. And I'll talk more about the book Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth, because the description of male energy and the description of female energy is really just so fantastic that anybody approaching the age of puberty ought to get a understanding of what they're experiencing. I don't know about you, but I certainly can look back, and if I could just for a moment imagine that, if I could get a glimpse of what it would be like if I had a healthy respect and appreciation for my father and that energy that I was composed of. I had male energy, and some of it came from my father's consciousness, obviously, but because I was a unique individual, I had the ability to shape that male energy. So if I had respected or appreciated that and tried to grow it to be a higher vibration or a higher form of evolved father energy, and at the same time respected the fact that I also was composed of mother energy, bonding, loving, nurturing, caring, healing, putting all of this together, it would have been a whole different story for life. If we could bond with, and I'm using that as it's defined in the Christ Returns book, if we could bond with our own father energy and our mother energy, and realize that it's the cooperation of those two energies, it is the balance of those two energies, and that we have access to both of them at any one moment. In some situations, you're going to want more father energy, and in other situations, we're going to want more mother energy, depending on that circumstance. And to be able to have access to it, now all of a sudden broadens our range of effectiveness, instead of holding back and finding ourselves limited in one way or another. And if we could just imagine a child with that awareness, and parents with that awareness, that they were literally contributing their energy to the creation of this new child, and they took it upon themselves to nurture both halves of this child, the father energy in them, and as well as the mother energy in them, that would be one amazing child. The point is, that statement would be true if we were talking about infants. If we knew that if we're having sexual intercourse and we're looking to conceive a child, and we know we're adding our two energies together, and over the course of that 9 months and during the delivery and for the first X number of years of this life, we made that child know that they were composed of these two magnificent energies, it would be fantastic. But the fact is, nobody listening to this call is an infant. Every one of us, me and you, still have the same opportunity. We can make that statement true because we can go back and rehabilitate. We can change our relationship with the male energy and the female energy. Because today is Father's Day, I'm speaking mainly of the male energy, but it doesn't have to be that way. Ultimately, we're going to want to be whole and healthy in our relationship with Father God energy and Mother God energy. And we can bring that into balance, and I think it's got to have an amazing impact on our bodies, on our health, on our outlook, on the way we deal with ourselves and other people. If we were to ask a person to explain the differences between a male and a female human being, you know, we just ask that of anybody casually, I think what we would probably end up with are a series of descriptions of, I'll say, preferred behaviors that a man would display. And, you know, some of these things are stereotypical. Men would prefer to watch sports or action movies, or men start wars, or they like to crash their energy into people and things in some of our sports, be it football or basketball or even, in competitions, if you will. Men like to move. They like to move their bodies. They like to explore. They like to make their own paths, which is another way of saying they don't want to follow rules. They just want to go and discover stuff. And the list could go on and on. You know, obviously there are lots of exceptions to this. But generally speaking, those things would be true for a great majority of us. But on this planet, there is no man who only consists of father energy. There's no man that only consists of male energy. Everybody has this mother energy as well. Here's an image. Imagine if we were baking a cake, but we were leaving out about half of the ingredients, and then fully expecting this to be a cake that was useful and could be served to people. Imagine if we were building a home, but we left out half of the materials in the construction of that home. That doesn't make any sense, right? We would never do that. Well, we might do it one time. We certainly would never do it again. We would go, oh, this is not a good result. But if a boy or a girl were to be taught to deny the father energy, oh, your father's like this and you're like that, and even though they're talking to somebody who is half father, it's like, what do we do? So to have this kind of denial of father energy in a child, and the child is taught that that portion of him or her is bad or not up to snuff or somehow faulty. Now, all of a sudden, our relationship to half of us, to this male energy that we might display, is now compromised. We are in the position, based upon this new teaching, to now, I got to prevent this from being displayed or expressed, and I got to make sure it doesn't come out because I got this bad part of me, and blah, on and on and on and on. That's a fairly common teaching, to think that we've got a dark side or a bad side, and we got these negative emotions, we've got all of this stuff that's wrong with us, and we've got to keep it under control, under lock and key, under this tremendous pressure to keep it from coming out to the light of day. And if that is something that is so natural and so obvious as half of the energy that went into our physical creation, the father energy, we're in trouble. For a woman to have this kind of information about the male energy being bad, so half of her is bad, now this gets projected outward. So it wouldn't surprise me to see a woman with that kind of a frame of reference to be disadvantaging herself because she can't use that part of her own energy pattern, and now all of a sudden ends up in conflict with other men, father, her brothers, other men, bosses, husbands, boyfriends, and so on. And you'd say, why? Why? Well, because they already, quotes, know, end quotes, that male energy is problematic, it's bad, it's whatever. Belief got transmitted in those conversations to that little girl. And for boys to deny their masculine side, that male energy, makes them be underpowered. They can't display their wholeness because it's been made bad with those kind of demeaning, demonizing, critical comments. And most children can't perceive that the static of the people in the environment are shaping these communications. Most kids are taking these kind of communications as gospel, as the ultimate truth, and now all of a sudden they just start living life with these misrepresentations. If you're a boy that's been exposed to the demonization of male energy, your father or uncles or whomever, or grandfathers, that this male self energy rejection starts showing up with conflicts, not only with an individual with his ability to express himself fully, but with bosses, co-workers, other men, instead of being able to cooperate, it would be competition. They would be perceived as threats, as dangers, as risks, and all of a sudden it just complicates the whole playing field because there's nobody to play with. Everybody has to be fought because of the male energy presence. My father didn't know what his role was. He didn't know that his role was to help provide and make evident the truth of existence. You know why? Because this information wasn't readily available. It's only been in my awareness since October 14th, 2010, when a client gifted me the Christ letters. And it's like, oh, truth of existence. That's interesting. That the divine is seeking to work in us, for us, and through us to help deliver the truth of existence, that is growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, all within a system of spiritual law and order that has rhythm and seasonality built into it. But without knowing that that's really what is happening, we think we have to do it on our own. And if we believe that we're dysfunctional because we're half male, then it's like, how can we get up this banquet table to help ourselves? We're undeserving, we're flawed, we're bad, we're evil, we're on and on and on with the negative words that have been heaped upon people for these misunderstandings. My father didn't know that. He didn't know that divine consciousness really was seeking to work for him, in him, and through him. And if he had known that, and knew how to avail that, instead of referencing the inputs that he had received about himself over the course of an abusive life that he experienced as a child growing up with his own father, who was more like the Old Testament God, who was punitive and trying to make him be something he wasn't and using brute force in order to make him tough. If he had any kind of respect for divine consciousness, he could have passed it to his son, but he didn't. He was more of a caveman on some levels, and so my father was disadvantaged tremendously from knowing what he could have been doing and what he could have helped us to do. We all could have participated in delivering the truth of existence to ourselves and one another. And it is not knowing that is really one of the saddest aspects of my family of origin for me. Not only did I not know it when I was a child, I didn't know it when I was a father, when I had such a great opportunity. Not knowing this role of how to be and how to display and how to direct and distribute father energy is... Without that knowingness, I was basically a caveman. Been trying to overcome that, or evolve, if you will, to grow in awareness for years and years. My son tells me I'm making progress, which is gratifying. So let me talk about father energy from another perspective. I'm alluding to it with the book Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. In the earlier letters of these nine letters, Christ is pretty regularly referring to God as God the Father or Father God. And he says it in various ways. But he also says in the letters that he was doing that early on, and he was doing that in Palestine over 2,000 years ago because of the Jewish hostility or animosity or false sense of superiority of men over women. And if he were talking about Father God, Mother God, he would have not been heard by anybody. It was too out of their range of understanding, their own limited consciousness. So their belief that the man was superior, he had to speak about God the Father in order for them to hear him. And in it, he says, that is clearly not true. It is the equality of Father God, Mother God, equal but different. And the same as male and female human beings, equal but different. And if that recognition and that respect and that caring and that working together and cooperation were to be known to people, we would be experiencing an entirely different type of world right now. And, in fact, that is the goal of the book and Christ Returning in the first place, is to create a new world by people working in harmony with their divine essence, father energy and mother energy. But besides refuting these Jewish views of male superiority and stressing the fact that male energy and female energy are in fact equal in value, and one without the other is not workable, must have both. In the later letters, Christ is defining some of the characteristics of Father energy, and he uses a lot of different phrases. He calls God a lot of different ways. And so, in terms of Father energy, Father hyphen energy. Let me just make this point. A lot of times where Father energy or Father God or Father intelligence or Father love is referenced in there, there are like little quotes around Father, knowing that we're not talking about a man. We're not talking about a man. We're talking about a vibrational characteristic, not a guy. So Father intelligence, a true man manifests Father, Mother, life, consciousness. There's a strength and a sense of direction. And also, an evolved man will have the feminine characteristics of loving intelligence. Refers to Father hyphen life, as we should surrender our selfhood, this sense of being an individual locked off and sealed off from other things, to Father life, which is going to remove the block between us in the spiritual dimension, between the spiritual dimension and the soul. Define divine Father, Mother consciousness. Also calls it Father, Mother, divine life. Father hyphen activity. And I like this. Father hyphen activity sets the goals. And the Mother hyphen love directs the way the plans will be developed to promote the highest good. That makes total sense to me, and I've talked about this for years, about this tendency. I will drive the car, and my wife, sitting in the seat next to me, is the navigator. So, I have the direction. She's pointing how we're going to get to point B. And it's like, I need that intelligence to be added to my impulse to move forward. I think that is such an exciting concept. If we get an idea, if we get some inspiration that we want to bring an idea into being, that's where now touching upon Father energy. But in order to bring this idea into being, to give it form, to plan this out and shape it and manifest it, we're going to need Mother energy. And it's pretty easy to get that in human reproduction, the man plants the seed, but the mother is the one who gives form to this new creation. She is the one that adds the energy to it. And you go, it would be nice to have the cooperation where the man, after that particular act, now is working on behalf of the family, on behalf of that wife and that new unit, to be able to go and make sure that the truth of existence is in fact supplied. The growth, the nutrition and nourishment, healing and protection and so on is being supplied to that mother and child to be. And if there are other children in the family, the same thing. That idea is fantastic to me. Father, Mother, life, consciousness is another name for the divine life consciousness, but the Father, Mother, life consciousness denotes its double qualities. Father love is the essence of giving itself. You can imagine that, I think, into a visible being in that visible existence and growing and protecting and nourishing and healing and fulfilling all the needs of all creation made visible. The divine is doing that. And a Father energy embodied in a man ought to be doing that. Father nature is to create and then to provide abundantly for all of its creations. And I think it's that area that is not happening on the planet that causes such pain and turmoil and disturbance on the planet. When a man doesn't know that, or a man knows that but doesn't have an opportunity to do that, to create and then to provide abundantly for its creation, we are acting out of harmony with the divine. And other men who are preventing other men from providing abundantly for their families are doing a terrible disservice to humankind, to consciousness, and frankly, because of the law and cause and effect, they're providing a tremendous disadvantage to themselves because of the impending harvest that they will invariably receive as a result of sowing this discord, this preventing full expression of these energies in other people. Father Love is the source of all health, therefore all thoughts and feelings contrary to Father Love bring sickness. And so that wanting to protect, wanting to create, wanting to construct is really a wonderful focus. Intelligent activity, which gives intelligent energy and movement to the world of complex forms. That's a description of this Father energy, calling it intelligent activity. I like that Father consciousness is universal intelligence and Mother consciousness is universal love. Jesus wants to be scientific in the Christ Returns as well, and he challenges scientists at some points. But he makes this point that Father creative energy is electricity in the world as we know it, and Mother creative energy is magnetism as we know it. And so all of a sudden you would go, oh, that must make me electromagnetic, and we are, and that's how we attract, that the law of attraction is as a result of us being electromagnetic beings. The Father is will, and the Mother is purpose. Just in case you can't tell, I think the book Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth is so fantastic. I'm through my fifth, I'm in the middle of my fifth reading of it. And read, study, study, read. And it is, to me, so fantastic. So, can you look, could we look at our lives and imagine that every one of us is an expression of this universal consciousness, this energy field, this cloud, this ocean of good that's invisible to us, is seeking expression. There it is. We got this huge energy field that's imperceptible to us, is seeking to express through us. So it wants to express through us our consciousness, and it's trying to display itself. It's demonstrating itself. It wants to express to ourselves these two energy forms, these two vibrational forms of Father intelligence with Mother purpose, the Mother purpose of love, so that we can give being and form to an idea or a plan and then bring it into creation. We have an idea or a plan or an inspiration, and then we keep adding energy to it until this thing comes into form. That's how we create businesses. We can create personal health that way. We could create prosperity. We could create a family that way. We could create means and ways to help other people and anything else. Even solid objects can be created in the same way, this combination of intelligence and love. We don't have to fall prey to a lot of the marketing that is saying the way to be safe is to reject, to go into hatred, to establish barriers around us individually, or around us politically, or around us racially, or around us nationally. We don't have to separate ourselves. We can bond. We don't have to fall prey to that nonsense that would speak of fear and danger. We can create what we want. We can get the idea of that using Father energy, and then we can bring it into existence using Mother energy. I think we can do anything we want, all things that we want, by creating what we want through this process of accessing this Father nature in balance and in harmony with our Mother nature. One or the other, not going to work. But in balance with the two. And frankly, if we're deficient in one, let me say deficient, meaning we don't have experiences in our background where there was respect or appreciation or love for one or both of these intelligences, these energy patterns, we now can call them forth right now. And anytime we want, we can call forth from divine consciousness this Father energy and this Mother energy. I love the statement from Letter 2 in Christ Returns. This is page 94 and 95 in the book. You do not need to heal your bodies or to try to make your lives better. You need to heal your beliefs. I have told you there is nothing solid under the sun. If you could heal your beliefs, bring your beliefs into line with the Father's true intention for you, wrong beliefs governing your bodies and lives would dissolve like mist in the sun. Your every circumstance would immediately come back to the divine intention behind all creation. The divine intention being the truth of existence. That, to me, is so fantastic. We, in our prayers, in our meditation, in our thoughts, and in our speech, we can invite the divine Father energy back into our lives so that we can create what? We can create more joy for ourselves. What else? We can create more happiness for ourselves and our families and other people. And as we do that, or as we focus on that inspiration, and we align with the other half of us, our Mother energy, and give it visible form. We bring those plans and inspirations and goals and desires into physical manifestation. We're going to be mighty happy people. We get back into balance. We honor the true intention of the creative force that made all of us be in existence. That would be a happy day, not just a single day, but every day. I'd like to end the service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of a prayer. I'm in Letter 8 of Christ Returns. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know that it is your will that we should be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.